master of the world. Oh, Jesus, you're the lily of the valley.
Yes, you are.
Sweet Jesus, you're the bright morning star.
Good morning and welcome to our audience around the globe. This is Studio W, your global radio network. And now it's time for your favorite show, the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show with your host, Ann Wooten Taylor. Good morning, my dear friend.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm terrific. Terrific. Beautiful Saturday morning on the East Coast.
I figured it was the weather. It must be really nice and perfect out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Right now. Uh-huh. That's when you wake up in a good mood.
I'm always.
When the weather is right. Yes.
I'm always in a good mood.
Stop.
Okay.
No, they listen every week.
Yes, stop. They do.
Okay. They know better.
Yes. I understand you have to. We'll talk tomorrow, okay, on the boomerang, all right?
See how William just veilly threats me? It's a veiled threat. So you're saying tomorrow on the Boomerang Radio Show when we're on the air together,
yes,
that you're going to pay me back. That's just basically what that meant, right?
Yes.
Yeah. See, it's not even, you know, it's not even conspicuous. Inconspicuous. You just really flat out said in front of the whole world that you don't get me tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
So that's what you did.
It started in 2016.
Yeah, we've been on the air together that long, right?
Longer. But anyway, all right. Have fun this morning.
You can't run away today, William. Normally, see, William likes to insinuate himself into the program, but this is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, and we have two prostate cancer survivors on to remind you that it's time for you to get your prostate check. So yeah, you get to stick around and they get to grill you too. So to make sure that you go and get checked out.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Cause William's been a baby about it in the past. I'm just going to let Mr. Moore and Mr. Rainey know right off the bat that William's been a big baby. And we have to make sure that he takes care of himself so that he'll be around for years to come for me to harass him.
Well, I had to get the right doctor, you know.
Oh, yeah. The doctor with the big fingers was the problem.
That was a big problem.
You're a baby. That's the problem.
You can call it whatever you want.
That's no excuse. Anyway, just stick around, William. Don't try to get lost today.
Okay.
You need to hear this one. And so do all of our male listeners, for whom we are so grateful to God for. You know, we have a lot of women who are into health and fitness. Of course, we know that women really worry about their body image a lot more than men do. But there are men who take our class. There are men who listen to our show, and we want you to know that we care about you. And we want to take care of you too, just like we have a lot going on in October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We want to make sure that you guys are aware that there's this thing in your body's called a prostate and you need to have it checked. Okay. But before we get into that, for those of you who are new to the show, I'm Ann Wooten Taylor. I'm the CEO of Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries. We're a nonprofit organization dedicated to teaching the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. We do that through our 12-week health and fitness course, which is going on right now. If you didn't sign up for it, you are missing it. This is our 10-year anniversary celebration. That's right. Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries has been teaching people health and fitness from a biblical standpoint for 10 years. And so we kicked off our first ever health and fitness masterclass, which is featuring health and fitness gurus, Christian health and fitness gurus from all over the country. We've got Dr. Tara Cannon, the author of Health and Wellness for the Believer. She is teaching from a medical standpoint, and providing video demonstrations as well. We've got Christian nutritionist Elsa Caballero. She's also giving you, you know, health and fitness tips from a Christian perspective, as well as doing demos to teach you how to cook healthy. And then finally, we've got the First Lady of Fitness, Deborah Michelle Jones. She is giving two free workouts a week. Two free workouts for a week. And I'm telling you, we are having a blast working out together. So if you guys didn't sign up for it, shame, shame, shame on you. You are missing out. It is awesome. And oh, by the way, the classes are free. I didn't tell you that part, did I? Yeah, classes are free. No registration fees or membership fees. But don't worry, we have classes again, so you'll be able to sign up next time. I just thought I'd tease you for not signing up this time around. It's shame on you. It's your fault. But at any rate, folks, I'll tell you a bit more about that when it's time for you to sign up for the next classes, okay? All right. It is time for your weekly motivation. Our weekly motivations are designed to encourage you to stay the course if you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey. We want to inspire you to get up and try again if you fell down somewhere along the way, and to motivate you to get healthy and fit through Jesus Christ if you haven't been able to find a reason to get healthy and fit on your own. So today's motivation is entitled, Never Stop Growing. Growth is a never-ending process. It doesn't end when we reach adulthood. If you don't grow up, you'll at least continue to grow old. However, God's plan for us is that we grow not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, and most importantly, spiritually. We grow physically through natural birth from infancy to adulthood to old age. But the Bible is clear that we must be born again in order to attain true spiritual, emotional, and mental maturity. In regard to mental growth, we're given the mind of Christ. Specifically, Philippians 2 and 5 states, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Moreover, 2 Timothy 1 and 7 goes on to say, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Finally, 1 Corinthians 13 and 11 further explains that when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Regarding emotional growth, the Bible clearly states that we are to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing our labor is not in vain. Furthermore, the book of Ephesians teaches that we are to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Jesus Christ has forgiven you. In terms of spiritual growth, the Bible teaches that it is a process that begins in the natural and is ongoing until we become like Christ. Specifically, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 states that we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This same process of growth applies to your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health and fitness journey. Right now, you and the rest of the world see the overweight body you've grown into, or the eating disorder that has matured into habitual behavior over time. But God sees the transformed you that will emerge in the fullness of time from glory to glory. From His perspective, it's already done. It will become manifested to you and the world as you walk in obedience. However, if you feel along the way that you're not perfect, that you're lacking, or that there's room for improvement, you're right, but be encouraged. First of all, we all feel that way. Mankind desires and strives for perfection because we were originally created as perfect beings. Although the perfection was lost due to our sin, the knowledge and subsequent desire to be perfect in every way remains within us. Consequently, we have a strong urge to reach for perfection in some manner, whether it's in regard to looks, relationships, professional vocation, longevity, or health and fitness. Secondly, we want to be perfect because God is perfect. We often describe His perfection as holiness. Contrary to popular opinion, desiring to be perfect is not sinful. On the contrary, God repeatedly commands in his word that we are to be holy because I am holy. Holiness is perfection. In the book of Leviticus, this commandment to be holy was given to the Israelites when God instructed them to abstain from eating unclean things as part of the way they worshiped and honored him. Consequently, it should come as no surprise to you that you desire to attain godly spiritual perfection in regard to your eating and drinking habits because God himself placed the desire within you. The question is, will you obey the command of the Lord and start living a holy life in regard to your health and fitness? If it's your desire to obey God's command to be holy, even in regard to your health and fitness, purchase your copies of the Eating as an Act of Worship workbook and the Eating as an Act of Worship Teacher's Edition online today at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. In the books, you'll learn the biblical principles regarding the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. Read our weekly blog for motivation to stay healthy and fit through Christ, and follow us daily on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest for recipes and diet and exercise tips. Tune in to our syndicated radio show on the DFW Den radio station, the Studio W Buzz radio station, and Victory KVDW 100.9 FM, 95.3 FM, and 1530 AM in Little Rock, Arkansas for interviews and health and fitness trends. Lastly, make your tax-deductible donation to Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries at www.eatingasanactofworshipministries.org. All right, everybody. I hope and pray that encouraged you to stay the course if you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey, that it inspired you to try again if you've somehow fallen down along the way, and that it motivates you to get healthy and fitness. Get healthy and fit, excuse me, if you haven't been able to find a reason to do so on your own. All right, folks, we've got an awesome show for you lined up today. Like I said, we've got two men here for you today to inspire you to take care of yourself. Yes, man, you too have to go see doctors just like the women. I know it's a hard concept to wrap your brains around, but we've got two men here to help you to understand that concept. They are both prostate cancer survivors, and they will be sharing their story with you in just a moment. I'm going to give you a little background on my first guest that I'm going to ask questions to, and then we're going to talk to the second one, too. I want you to get both perspectives. But we have with us Mr. Ron Rainey. He's an assistant vice president and professor with the University of Arkansas System Division of Agriculture. He focuses on enhancing firm value added entrepreneurship, risk management, and strategic marketing across the food value chain. Within the Division of Agriculture, he provides collaborative leadership to diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts, broadband expansion, and enhanced collaboration across research, teaching, and extension mission areas. Mr. Rainey believes in the value of education and is a constant advocate and supporter of post-secondary educational opportunities. He currently serves as past president of the University of Arkansas's National Alumni Board of Directors and continues to be active with alumni chapters and societies. He lives here in Little Rock with his wife Janelle and daughter Marley. Thank you so much for being with us, Mr. Rainey. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for having me and appreciate the opportunity to talk about prostate cancer.
Not at all a problem. It's indeed my pleasure and our mission to make sure that we help the world, especially the body of Christ, first and foremost, get healthy and fit. I noticed that you go to Greater Second Baptist here in Little Rock, too. So, and you're a deacon. So, Deacon Rainey. Tell us a little bit, you know, about your prostate cancer journey. Why are you such an advocate for teaching other men about this issue?
Well, I'll start by saying why I'm an advocate, and then I'll tell my journey. So I'm an advocate because I lost my father about 10 years ago, who died from prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. I'm from a very large family. I have 10 brothers and 4 sisters. Mm. And 6 of my brothers have been diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and wow. So one of the things you learn when you go on this journey is that it's hereditary. And so knowing your family history is very important. Mm-hmm. So I got diagnosed at the time my father was being diagnosed. What's interesting is that I started promoting it broadly because I got diagnosed at the age of 38.
Wow, that's early. Because they don't tell you to get tested at that early of an age, do they?
That's the other reason why this is my journey. I thought that was part of my testimony because actually the only reason that I took a PSA at 38 was I was in a leadership program and they were teaching us how to do a health fair.
Oh, wow.
And the blessing in it is that half of that leadership class, the gentleman that ran the program, he said, the only reason I put PSA on there for the screening is because I could have picked 6 and I only picked 5 and PSA was the only thing I knew to say.
Wow. So
I got diagnosed from a PSA from a health screening. The thing I'll stress, had no symptoms, didn't feel anything wrong. And I was at a rural area in Arkansas in Mena where I thought, well, they messed up my PSA screening because I feel fine. I go to my private care physician. He said, yeah. And again, the PSA is a blood test. And so then after I do the PSA, I went to him. I had a PSA. He said, yeah, your PSA is elevated. Probably need to go and look at after they did the more invasive procedure, the examination. Mm-hmm. But every doctor and every specialist that I saw said, you're the youngest that I've seen. But there aren't any 38-year-olds that are getting a PSA.
Wow. Wow.
And so the thing that I'd encourage is one, and you touched on it, men, we don't like to talk about our health. We don't like to go to the doctor and everything is always fine, even when it's not. And so, and I'll just say this, one of my father, very, very strong man, and he taught me that men take care of their business, but even my father, when he got diagnosed, he told us, he said, yeah, I knew something was wrong, but you know, I was going to be about 70, 75. He said, hey, I've lived a good life. And I'm like, no, we want you. You're
great. Exactly.
And those are the things that I want to say to men is men, to be men, you have to be there.
Right.
You have to be there. And to all the ladies that are listening, women, please, all the men in your life, your grandfathers, your fathers, your uncles, your sons, your brothers, mm-hmm. please have a conversation to encourage them because the other thing that amazed me, because I was fairly open and a lot of people of all races come to me and says, how can you talk about this so openly? And I said, cancer chose me. I didn't choose cancer, but it's right. What I do with it. It's part of my journey with it. And I choose to be very vocal about my journey because I've helped others and I'm really glad because I've done a screening. Before COVID, we did one, probably the last 10 years before COVID started annually at Greater Second. Mm. And every year, one of our members would get some type of a diagnosis.
Wow. Wow. And that's saying something because I don't know what it's like at your church, but most churches are full of women. So if you got somebody popping up positive every year, that seems like, you know.
Well, and what's really interesting, and I'm a little biased, we have a very strong men's ministry, but we would open it up to the community, but these were men within the congregation. And here's the thing that I'll stress, and it would always be, hey, Deacon Rainey, my wife said I need to talk to you. And it was kind of in hushed tones, can I call you later on? And then I would get the full story. Mm. And so that's the thing, because to me, every one of those conversations is a conversation I wish I was able to have with my father early on in his diagnosis, because early diagnosis is the key to surviving prostate cancer.
You know, you mentioned that you've been, you know, an advocate for this at your church for 10 years, and you would think at this point that the men would be comfortable coming to you on their own. So why is it that my wife said, I've got to talk to you? what is it going on with y'all that we got to force you to do that?
Well, I would say one is that bravado, the macho that we're okay. And the fact that we have to be okay. We feel that for whatever reason. We feel like we've got to be that pillar. And it's okay because the thing of it is that it's a debilitating disease if you're untreated. And so you're not going to be okay if you don't get treated. So that's my message. If you're going to be that strong pillar for your family, you have to take care of your health. I think part of it is a little bit of a confusion on the diagnosis. Start with the PSA. If you're over 45, absolutely. I would say get the examination. And I heard your co-host joking about his doctor with the big fingers, but I'm going to say this. I would rather have a little discomfort and to know that I'm here for my wife, my daughter, my sisters, my family. And that's the thing that I stress to people.
William, did you just make a noise? Sound like you grunted when he said little discomfort. I know I heard you.
You did.
Yeah, I thought so. Now see, and I say this every time we talk about prostate cancer because I want the men to understand how y'all are being such babies. Women start menstruating in our teenage years. And at that point, you have to start seeing a gynecologist every year. Now, William, you're concerned about a little finger being inside of you. Let me explain to you what happens to you from the age of around 13 or so.
Oh, boy.
You go to his man, you get spread wide open. He puts this thing in you that you have no clue about because nobody prepares you for it, and it pops you wide open. Then he puts something else inside and scrapes the inside of you, and they have to send that off to be tested and whatnot. This happens every year, William. Every single year until menopause. So, and then after that, you still gotta get, you know, checks and stuff like ovarian cancer and whatnot. But I say that, and we're not gonna even talk about breast cancer screening added onto that when you get of a certain age. So you don't even have to start this until you're what, 40 something? And you are complaining because every now and then somebody, and you don't even have to get the finger anymore. I think now they stick you with needles. So suck it up and go to the doctor. Please.
I'll take the needle.
You get.
Well, so absolutely. The PSA is a simple blood test. And I tell people and unfortunately, some doctors won't even recommend you to get a PSA before you're 40. And as I said, I was diagnosed at 38, and those specialists told me had I waited until 40, that cancer would have been growing in my body for 2 years, and I would have had a very different diagnosis a few years later.
Wow. Well, you know, since William doesn't seem to be convinced, we're going to bring Mr. Moore on. Maybe hearing from the second guest will
I didn't
will
say I wasn't with. Convinced. I just got a doctor with smaller fingers.
William, you know what? I'm not going to choke you through the radio. I'm not. I'm just not. It's not about the size of the finger. It's about the diagnosis, making sure that you don't have it, making sure that, I mean, who knows? The little fingers may not be able to test you properly. I'm just kidding, y'all. I don't think the doctor's finger size matter. I'm just trying to, you know, reorient William's thinking so that he will get this done. But, Brother Moore, thank you so much for being here with us. Before we get started, tell our listeners a little bit about your background, so that they can get to know you as a person too.
My background, also from a large family, from a family of 10.
Wow.
6 girls and 4 boys. And I'm a very healthy person. Many people don't go to the hospital until they're sick. They don't go to a doctor until they're sick. Everything was going well. I was going to the doctor. I was feeling good, and then I relocated from New Jersey to Arkansas to take care of my mother, although she said she takes care of herself. She's now 93.
Wow.
But I was focusing on her and not myself, so I hadn't found a PCP. I wasn't going to the doctor, and a friend of mine, very good friend of mine, who's a nurse, was working at a health fair one day, and she said, why don't you come and get you a numbers check? I said, no, I'm fine. I'm going to go for a bike ride. She said, you should come, and I wasn't going to go. So she sent me a text, and she showed me her numbers, her blood pressure and all that. I said, okay, so I put my bike in my car. I'll go by, and then I'll go for a ride. I got there. They started all the tests. Lady came up to me and said, Mr. Moore, you feeling okay? I said, yeah, I'm feeling fine. She said, your blood pressure is like 121 over 91. I'm sorry, she said 191. I said,
wow.
No, I feel fine. She said, any headaches or anything? I said, no. So she said, well, let me check it again. And then she got a different machine, and they all came back high. So she had the doctor come over. Doctor did the same thing. And he said, you should go to the ER because you are in what's called a crisis state. You could have a stroke. I said, I was going to go for a bike ride. He said, no, you don't want to do that. So bottom line, I found a PCP. PSA was elevated. And had it not been for that health fair, the friend in the health fair, I would not have done it. Mm. I was really surprised because I'm a health nut. I used to cycle 8 to 10,000 miles a year.
Wow. I love it.
Yeah, very much. I don't eat sweets. I don't eat a lot of fried food. I don't eat a lot of high fat foods, a lot of vegetables, a lot of fruits. The doctor told me, he said, Mr. Moore, you're doing all the right things. But as Brother Rainey said, it's hereditary. Mm. So there's my father and the four boys, and all four of us were diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Wow.
So you can't run from it. You think you're fine. As Brother Rainey said, you don't always have symptoms. Mm. So know your numbers. Mm. That's the key.
Wow. So that you both, I got to say, your families just remind me of my own. My mom is 7 of 13 children that survived infancy. My grandmother was pregnant many more times than that. So I know what it's like to have a big family. And then when people start getting sick and dying off, it's devastating because you've got so much love that you've been spreading around and that you've been getting. So what was it like for you and your brothers? Were you all diagnosed at the same time or was it at different times so you could help each other through it?
At different times. My father was diagnosed first a long time ago. And what's interesting and different today is he didn't really say anything about it. He didn't explain it to us. My oldest brother was then diagnosed and then the third brother and myself. And it wasn't a conversation, whereas today it needs to be a talking point. If a male member of your family has it, chances are you're going to get it. So now I talk to my nephews and I also talk to my nieces, so they will talk to their husbands, but everybody needs to be aware of it. And the diagnosis, like I said, was surprising, but when I saw that it also hit my younger brother, he was diagnosed about the same age as I, which was about 58, mm-hmm. and you can't run from it. If it's in your family, it'll find you.
Wow. You look like you're over 58. That's awesome. Look, you do take
good care. I have my mother's
genes. You do take great care of yourself.
Well, I'm 63 now, but
wow.
Yes.
Well, that's a blessing. I gotta say, I know what it's like to some degree, not nearly the degree you do, to do everything right, to eat right, to exercise, and to then still get something that you thought would bypass you because you were doing everything right. Like for instance, this ministry started because the Lord delivered me from gluttony. Lost 135 pounds and teaching people, that God is the answer. And then I get hypothyroidism. And so now I'm battling this all over again. Thought I would be completely free from it. It don't feel fair. It's, you understand it is spiritual warfare. But at the same time, I know it's meant to have a demoralizing effect. How was it, for you? Because if you are eating right, you're exercising, you're taking care of yourself. I know you got to be thinking, well, this is all the stuff that's supposed to keep away cancer. what else am I supposed to do? At least that's what I know I would be thinking. So just tell us about your experience.
Just because you're doing the right thing doesn't always mean you're going to get the right result.
Right.
I had volunteered for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society in New Jersey for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I met many people that went through the exact same thing. They were doing the right thing. They were living right. But again, cancer found them. Mm-hmm. And I would always talk as I would speak to people. Can you imagine what it's like to hear that you have the big C word?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was told that I had a positive diagnosis, I knew exactly what that feeling was, and it mm-hmm. wasn't a good one. But mm-hmm. more importantly, because I was with the Leukemia Society, I was told, if you have cancer and you get it out. So mm-hmm. as soon as my doctor said, yes, it's confirmed, you have it, I said, okay, how soon can we treat it? I can be on the table next week. And he said, well, no.
He said, cut it out.
Yeah.
Right.
I said, so just take it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started the journey of finding out as much about it as I could, being as involved as I could, spreading the word and helping anyone that's involved through conversation, advice, just listening as much as possible.
Wow. I got to say, I can't stress enough how much screenings and early diagnoses, early diagnosis of a potential problem, is a blessing. I remember when they thought I had cervical cancer. I had an abnormal screening at one of those appointments that William, I have been going to since I was about 13. And it was one of the scariest times of my life because you don't want to get a call saying, you know, that they found a large grade carcinoma on your cervix. You just don't want to hear that. But thank God they were all precancerous cells, and all I had was a 15-minute procedure in my doctor's office to remove them. But my husband was just like you, you know, he was like, just tell them to take it all. Just take it all out. We, you know, I want you here. So he had me on the table with a full hysterectomy. And it wasn't even necessary. And so, you know, if you were to go and get the screening, I mean, being afraid of the unknown is only going to make it worse, in my opinion. Because if I hadn't gone to the doctor, if I waited another year, or if Brother Rainey, you know, hadn't had that screening, Brother Moore hadn't listened to his friend, the outcomes would have been so much different. And that's what we want to stress to everybody listening, including William, that these things are so important. Because it gives you more time with your family. And that's part of the abundant life, us being able to be together, and love each other. William, do you have a question?
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I talk a little bit more about the, PSA test, the blood test, and, how readily available is it? Is it something you go to your primary and just say, you know, I'd like to have one of these tests? And exactly what did you guys go through to get that?
Yeah, as part of that screening, it usually there's a lot of free PSA screening, the prostate cancer screenings, and they're free, and you can go get them. You can go to your primary care physician and actually request it to be a part of your annual physical, which I'm hoping that you're having an annual physical just to get your numbers, as Mr. Moore was saying. And so then you'll know, because something that happens sometimes, It just jumps. So when my first PSA, it was high, and I think 7 is what they consider elevated. Mm-hmm. My brother had prostate cancer, but his was a 4, but he was getting it tested, and it jumped all of a sudden. And so there's some things that you can know just by knowing your numbers, which is very, very important for us to be able to take care of our health, because, again, early diagnosis is critical.
Let me ask you this. And so is it true that the lower the number, the better the, so like maybe a 1 or 2, are you pretty safe? And the higher you get, the more at risk you are. Is that how it works?
Yes. Yes. The lower the number, and don't start quoting me because I can't remember. Maybe Dwight can, but I want to say that you want it to be under 4. I think that's the recommendation.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've heard that before. Now, and for Ann, I do have an examination coming on October the 11th, and I will request that, okay?
Yay.
No, that's already scheduled.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, for those wives out there, let me just tell you a wife trick that I do. Your husband may not appreciate it. It's okay. He can just be mad. But what I do is, if he's being hard-headed, eventually something will happen where he has to go to the doctor. Eventually. And he'll let you know how they do it. Well, I'm going to be off work on this day because I'm going to, you know, see the doctor and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Call the doctor's office. Tell him you so-and-so's wife and he needs a prostate scan, cancer screening while he is there. And then when he gets there, the doctor will do everything that he wants done. And then he'll say, okay, well, now it's time to do your prostate cancer screen. What? Wait a minute, where did that come from? Your wife said she So when he gets home, he'll be mad. But you know, you can have his favorite foods and whatever else ready. Whatever it
Sneaky.
Is it does to get him, you know, in the right mood later on. But it's worth it. He'll get, you know how they are. They're not like us. We can be mad for weeks. They'll be mad for a little time. Put on the game, leave them alone. You know what I'm saying?
Are you saying we have a short attention span?
I didn't say that, William.
Yes, you did. That, so. Yes, you did.
You now, said... Don't get me wrong. I've met a few men that can rival women in keeping a grudge. I've met some of them. But by and large, you know, y'all tend to let things go. Case in point, you know, I've got nephews and 2 boys. So I had both my nephews and my two boys and one of their cousins, male cousins, over. And there was some type of squabble. I don't even remember what it was about, because in 5 minutes, it was over. If there had been a group of little girls when we were little, somebody would have had to go home. It would have been a lot of crying and screaming. We wouldn't have talked for 2-3 weeks. You know, it's just the way girls are. And I don't, you know, it, without the estrogen, I don't know. It's a little different. So the men will get over it. And Reverend Demery agreed with me when we talked about this in June. When we had Mr. Collier on the Boomerang, he said that's biblical, because the man's body is not his either. You know, they love to tell us that part of the scripture that says your body is not your own. Keep reading. It says his body is yours too. So I get to take care of my body if you won't take care of it. Okay. Just like you, take care of me, I get to take care of you. And so, you tell him from that standpoint, especially, you know, if he's one of them, I'm going to tell you what the word of God says in order to get you to do right. Yeah, tell him. but at any rate, folks, we're going to talk a little bit about the numbers, the statistics, because you two are, for those of you who are following us along on StreamYard, you can tell that we're talking to two African-American men. And so, Mr. Collier, of course, is a Caucasian man. He's the head of the Arkansas Prostate Cancer Association, I believe the executive director. But, you know, when he was here, he made it really clear that this is a big deal for African-American men. Mr. Rainey, can you tell us a little bit why it's so important for African-American men?
Yeah, so all men, 1 in 8 men will get prostate cancer in their lifetime. That's up from 1 in 9 from just a few years ago. Mm. But for African-American men, it's 1 in 6.
Wow.
80% higher than for white men.
Wow.
1 in 6 African-American men will get prostate cancer in their lifetime. Mm. And wow. This is the highest racial disparity of any type of cancer.
Mm. Now, you both have talked about, you know, how genetics plays a big role. Did all of you, and you know, did you and all of your family members, like your brothers, get tested early because your father was diagnosed with it? Or, you know, did you not know, you know, that this is something that could run in your family until after it started coming on you guys like dominoes falling?
Yeah, for me, after my father got diagnosed, we were learning, the brothers and the sisters were learning, because we had to teach our father and talk to him about the options and encourage him the options. But then when me and my older brother got it at the same time, and he's a minister, and so both of us were on a spiritual journey that we were reaching out to all of our brothers, actually to all of our friends, telling them how important it is to get screened, how important it is to go through it and know what your number is, and then to also talk through what those options are if you get something back that's adverse.
Is it the same for you, Brother Moore? Did you have that same similar experience?
It wasn't the same. As I mentioned, my father was diagnosed. We knew he had it. My oldest brother was diagnosed. We knew he had it, and that was it. Because of my lifestyle, I didn't think it was a problem for me. And I would get my regular checks and everything was good. So because everything had been good, I assumed everything was still good. I didn't learn about the racial disparity until after I was diagnosed and treated.
Well, I'm hoping that all of your family members, you know, like you, are survivors. I hope you didn't lose anybody else. I know, Brother Rainey, you said your father. But I hope the rest of your family members are like you and advocating as much as possible for people to get screened and tested. Now, I know that they don't have any definitive reasons that they can explain about why it's more prevalent in the African-American community for men here lately than it is for Caucasian people. But if it's treated early, how likely is it to be, you know, in remission?
I will say that prostate cancer is the one cancer that, if treated early, detected and treated early has almost a 100% cure rate.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. That's very, very encouraging. If for no other reason, that should be enough for all of you scared men to go to the doctor right there because he just said 100% cure rate if it's caught early. So that for me would be enough of a reason to go to the doctor and get a screening so that I don't have to worry, about catching it at stage four or something like that. Because the earlier it's caught, the better. But what if they don't, what if they're hard headed? They don't get their screenings early because, like we have been discussing since the beginning, men can be hard headed about doing that. Are there things out there that can help them, support them through it if things, if things get hard, if they need treatment, if they need surgery, if they have a long battle ahead?
Oh, absolutely.
Their support system.
Oh, absolutely. And the Arkansas Prostate Cancer Foundation has been that support system for me, along with just building a network of not just family, but friends that I've had conversations with. But in that space of if you catch it late, there are a number of treatment options. And again, the flexibility of those treatment options is broader the earlier that you catch it. And so that's another reason why it's so critical that you get those diagnoses and you find it out early. And there's a lot of research exploring what those treatment options are and exploring why is it higher amongst African-American men.
Wow. One of the things that I've heard, because I had a coworker who was diagnosed with prostate cancer, but he was at that wait and see stage. And he, he had the option of being able to have it treated or not have it treated, just let his doctor, take a look at it. And he was concerned about the side effects, which was why he was like, if he didn't have to have the surgery, he was going to do the wait and see thing for as long as he could. Is that what keeps a lot of men from, moving forward? From number one, going to get screened, and from number two, moving forward with treatment if they need it. Is it Mr. Morris?
Go ahead. If I can take one step beyond that, it's surprising how many men don't know what a PSA is.
Wow.
So they have no idea. Then you'll hear, well, you'll die from something else before you die from prostate cancer. And wow. Then to your point about the side effects, many are concerned about the side effects, but there are ways to treat those. And it's the general belief that general health and fitness will help you deal with and reduce the impacts of side effects post-treatment. But there are many that will say, I don't want to deal with the side effects. And as far as watching and waiting or active surveillance, those things, as Brother Rainey mentioned earlier, your PSA could jump. So there could be a rapid spread in the cancer. And once it gets outside the prostate, it's a completely different ballgame.
Wow. So what is it that men are afraid of when it comes to side effects? What's the boogeyman that they're afraid is going to come to get them?
They're pretty serious as a man will look at them. The two main ones are incontinence. And the other one is erectile dysfunction.
Okay.
There are ways to treat both of those if they happen to be side effects. In my case, and I'm able to say thank God for it, I don't have either of those. And if it wasn't for the scar from the surgery, I wouldn't know that I had prostate cancer. And there are many that fall in that bowl, as in they have no side effects.
I would echo that as well. No side effects.
Well, praise the Lord for blessing both of you. I guess my question is this, in October we'll be talking to prostate cancer survivors, and very often I talk to women who, had one or both breasts removed. And you can imagine that that's a horrible side effect for women to go through, but we do it. And most of the women that I talk to very often are married, or have a significant other, and they're still loved and cherished by that particular person because the person loves them. So I guess my question is, do men feel that we women when treat them in that same way if they had some type of one of those side effects? Because I can guarantee you a woman who loves her husband is going to love him regardless because he's still there. it's a lot harder to deal with the issue if you 6 feet under the ground than it is, you know, to love you through it. If you stick around. So is that what the big thing is behind the boogeyman? The real issue is, will I still be me? Will I still be loved? Will I still be able to do those things I want to do?
I'd say that's part of it. I say that's part of it, but I say even a bigger thing, just from conversations I've had with people, why haven't you done it? I think it's just the fear of the unknown and not being in control. Having something that they have to confront that they have no control over. Mm-hmm. And so my cancer journey was a spiritual journey. And so, that was a blessing for me. Okay. I understood why I was going through that fire and it was helpful. But I just think it's that fear, it's that unknown and then not being able to control it or not knowing what's beyond that. Once I have to endure that conversation of the big C, that's my perspective.
You said it was a spiritual journey for you. Brother Moore, you mentioned that the journey doesn't end with treatment. It begins with the next phase. What did you mean by that?
Like other cancers, there can be a recurrence. There can be a relapse. And I get my PSA checked every 6 months. Mm. And if there's any movement in my PSA, it means either they didn't get it all, something else is wrong. But prostate cancer, as it's diagnosed more so in African-American men, the incidence of recurrence is also higher. The mortality rate is also higher. And if prostate cancer comes back, the options for treatment are not as vast, and they are not as effective as we would like. So there's lots of research to address that today. But you have to keep getting your numbers checked. You have to stay healthy and make sure that there is no recurrence. And then the other thing is to work with others, to spread the word, to encourage others. And you mentioned October 11th, Brother William. My birthday happens to be October 11th. So I will celebrate my birthday, and I will celebrate the fact that you are at an examination, and hopefully prostate will come up in that conversation.
So that means you cannot change your appointment, William, because Mr. Moore will be celebrating because you are there getting, you know, getting the blood drawn.
and I wanted to jump in there because my prostate cancer came back when I was 38 because of my family history. Because I was 38, like Mr. Dwight, I said, take it out. They said, we can treat this easily, but with your family history, it's going to come back. And I'm like, well, go ahead. No, take it out. If it's coming back, I don't want to have to deal with it. But as it was described to me, they said maybe they didn't get it all. So 10 years later, and so when you go through treatment, you're going to get your PSA, you're cancer free after 10 years. In my eighth year, my PSA started moving.
Wow.
So
and that was after they removed it? After they removed your prostate?
That was after they removed my prostate, which as the doctors explained it, when they went in and removed the prostate, the cancer had spread beyond, a little bit of it had spread beyond my prostate, so they didn't get it all out.
Wow.
And that remained, had started to grow. So I went through 8 weeks of radiation about 4 years ago, because 10 years later, it came back. And again, another spiritual journey for me to talk about, okay, I'm like, okay, God, why am I back here? Please help me understand.
Right.
And so, but that's what's kept prostate cancer near and dear to my heart as a conversation that I'm having with people as often as I can.
Wow. You two have been through a lot. Your families have been through a lot. And so I can understand completely why you would speak to your brothers, your fathers, your uncles, your nephews. Does it, seem like your efforts are helping, or does it seem like, you know, men's health issues are sort of taboo to talk about still?
I'll share two things. I'm a golfer, and I had done a talk, Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. I did an interview that was televised. Mm-hmm. I was at the driving range, And a gentleman came up to me and said, I saw you on television. I said, really? He said, yeah, you were talking about prostate cancer. And just to let you know, the next day I called my doctor and I scheduled an appointment and I had my PSA checked. The second thing is I have a nephew, the son of my oldest brother, just retired from the Marine Corps. I went to visit him in Hawaii, and on the base, there were guys that I met because he had spread the word to them. So the word is getting out, and that makes me feel blessed.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know that, you know, I talked to Mr. Collier and his predecessor, one of his predecessors, before him about the need, you know, to make September the blue ribbon month, where everybody wears their blue ribbons the way that, that women love to wear our pink ribbons, you know, in honor of breast cancer. Do you see strides being made in that regard to where more and more people are getting to know about, you know, their PSA, and if no other time in September that they are telling, you know, their family members to get checked, that men are being more open with men?
It's helpful. I would say absolutely it's helpful. I'll say, beyond what Mr. Morse shared, is that I'm a big Razorback football fan, and they had prostate cancer awareness at a Razorback football game.
They took a
group of men out on the field. Now, I was one of those men that went out on the field because I signed up. I wanted to go out there to represent my fathers and fathers that look like my father. Mm-hmm. I was the only black that was there, and at the time I was under 45. Wow. I would think that all the others were elderly white men, and every one of those white men came up to me with tears in their eyes and said, I can't believe you're here. I'm only here because my wife made me do this. Shame. And every one of them had tears in their eyes, hugging me, and we all shared the same story. What was your date? Which was the date that you got diagnosed?
And where's your...
And so there is a strength in that community. And I say it that there are many men that will get diagnosed and they won't say anything about it. And I think that we should talk more openly about it, because there is encouragement for other men to share some of those stories, not only with their women in their lives, but the other men that they can influence.
Wow. It's hard to believe we only have 8 minutes left. So I want you to walk the men through it, you know, those who have gotten to the point where, okay, they've heard your stories, they realize William's being a wuss, and they're going, you know.
I told you, I have an appointment October the 11th, 2022, October at 2 p.m., okay?
And then at that point, we would say, yay, William has some courage. He's our hero. Until then. No, I'm just kidding. I'm proud of you for giving me your appointments. But at any rate, you know, walk men through it. What if they are convinced at this point that they need to be screened, especially, you know, if they're younger men and they have a history of this in their family, you know, what should they do first? You know, just walk them through the process.
Dwight, you want to go, or I can go?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I would just say, one, just schedule that visit and have a visit with your doctor. Two, contact, or you don't even have to contact the Prostate Cancer Foundation. You can find out information about it, you know, about that specific cancer. But in addition to contacting your primary care physician to schedule some, just start asking some questions about your own family history, because it is so, that's one of the drivers is that it is hereditary. But so find out your own family's history and let that be the guiding principle. And then you just really have to be honest and look yourself in the mirror and say, okay, how bad do I want to be here? Because if you want to be here, then that discomfort is not anything. If you want to be there for your family, for future generations, see your grandkids, walk your daughter down the aisle, talk to your son. If you want to be here, it doesn't matter. It's whatever it takes.
And, you know, for those people who, you know, are like, okay, I do want to be here. I do want to get through it. But what if, you know, what if it's, you know, positive? What if it's, you know, stage two, stage three, stage four? What do you recommend for them?
Be aggressive. Take care of your business. Active surveillance. Okay, you can take that. But at the point they would recommend active surveillance, they would probably do a biopsy. And they would say, okay, only this number of cores are positive out of all those that we did. The thing to consider, if you look at your hand and you divide your hand into 12 sections, and then you take a little needle and you take a sample from each section, you're taking one little snippet from one little section. It doesn't cover the rest of the section. So in my case, the doctor, my PSA was 5.8, not elevated that much, but because of my family history, we went ahead and we took care of it. He said, it's a small amount. It's slow growing. The day after my surgery, he came in and he said, Mr. Moore, you had a lot more cancer than we realized. Wow. And it was right near the apex. Wow. Meaning it was on its way out. So wow. You can do active surveillance, but if you do that, be active and aggressive about that surveillance.
Wow. You know, I've asked a lot of questions, and as a female, I feel like there's probably some things I didn't think to ask that men may want to ask. William, you know, as a man, what do you want to know, you know, in these last 5 minutes?
Yes. You speak of this primarily being hereditary. Are there many cases outside of that you know of that men, they didn't have a history of it in their families, or they said, well, shucks, I don't have this history in my family, so I shouldn't even be concerned about it. That is the wrong approach, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Go ahead, Ron.
No, I was going to say that because what they've shown is that it's an issue for all men. All men. 1 in 8. I mean, 1 in 8.
Wow.
That's all men. I think they're trying to link it to diet a little bit, but it's hereditary with African American. Part of the issue is, and we understand within our community that we're some of the last groups to get specialized research on. So a lot of the early research, they didn't have a lot of us in that research. So now we're getting research that's focused on a research study that focuses on all African-American men in that research study. So we're hopeful to get some better answers in the near future. And we're getting a lot of new answers, even with the self-diagnosis. They're being able to monitor better. They're being able to understand how the cancer and even the genetics of the cancer, of how what you have a fast-growing or slow-growing. So I would say, whatever it is, whether you're just getting a PSA or whether you've been diagnosed, get educated on it and get some support to help you understand who's giving you the information.
One other thing you say, and that is that our culture has the highest rate, if I heard you correctly, of having that and contracting that. What does that come from? Is it diet? Is it health? Is it exercise? What is it that is so, I would say, prominent in our society, in our culture?
I don't think the research has been able to identify what it is within African-American men, other than to make the correlation that it's higher, the incidence is higher, the devastation is higher. But we're trying to... Thankfully, we're actually trying to address those specific answers where they're looking at diet in research. They're looking at specific genetics, trying to find these markers that can predict it or predict even the type of cancer that you could possibly have.
I can add to that, that there is a congressional directed review board that meets every year, and that involves a lot of research on the disparity, finding out exactly what it is and how to address it. To Brother Randy's point, not quite pinpointed yet, but they are aggressively working at trying to identify it.
Wow.
One last thing real quick. So what is it now? How often should we, is this something that we should pay attention to every year instead of every so many years? Because the last time I had an exam, the doctor says, okay, you don't have to come back for 5 years. You know, I've had any symptoms or anything like that, but I've had one since then, and then, like I said, I do have this scheduled for October 11th. Now, we joke a lot, but I do take it seriously. So How often should we have this checked?
I would say a PSA annually, and if it's in your family history, then discuss with your doctor and possibly do it more frequently than that.
Okay.
Yeah, I do tease William a lot, but he did go suck it up and get it done. So I just have to make sure he continues to get it done. Just like I have to stay on my husband. He gets, like I said, he gets a little upset with me when I get sneaky about it, but. Hey, you promised me forever. I'm getting my forever.
That's good.
All right, folks. That's unfortunately, amazing. It is 12 o'clock, but the good news is, these gentlemen will be back next week to talk, to my favorite young men on the planet, my sons, AJ and Alex Taylor,
great.
The host of the Teens Talk Truth radio show, because they too want to make sure, that young men in their age group learn about prostate cancer early, that they, you know, stay on their dads, their uncles, their grandparents about getting screened. And so we want to get the word out, especially in our community, about prostate cancer. But they will be up right now. It is time for their show. So I'm going to get out of the way. And don't forget, you know, they're my kids. I don't know what they're going to say, especially that young one when he starts talking about what had happened was. So you don't want to miss it, folks. Stay right here for the Teens Talk Truth radio show. And don't forget to come back tomorrow, Sunday, so you can, you know, see if William makes good on his threats towards me.
I will.
That's the Boomerang radio show right here at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Time on Studio WBuzz. We talk about all kinds of stuff that's going on in the world. In other words, we talk about whatever's bothering William and his therapists, which is, they all understand that's why they've been hired, but the therapists that are on the show with us give him free therapy during the program. But we do it from a Christian perspective, but we keep it real.
It's a lot of fun.
It is a whole lot of fun. But at the same time, you know, we tackle some real serious issues. So tune in right here on Studio WBuzz. Just go to www.studiowbuzz.com if you want to live stream it. We're also on StreamYard. But guess what, folks? You can download the Studio WBuzz app. Just go to studio.w if you've got an Apple device, or Studio W if you've got Android. Listen to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And to William's credit, if he can't do nothing else, he can play some good music.
Thank you for that backhanded compliment, Ann. I really appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. I like that.
Oh yeah, it's going to be on tomorrow, folks. And also, if you like really, really good gospel music, tune in tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. on the East Coast, 7 a.m. on the West, at 9 Central. And Ann, this is one of your favorite. Well, I guess you like this one. I know you do. This is David G. Yahweh. We'll be playing that tomorrow along with a lot of other great gospel music, folks. StudioWBuzz.com. This has been the Eden as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show, coming to you every Saturday at noon on the West, 11 Central. It's noon here on the East. 9 on the West and 11 Central. Okay. Still, my time zone is still getting mixed up out here. But anyway.
You're still on California time.
I'm still on California time. I left there several months ago. But that's okay. It'll catch up. Have a good day and enjoy. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. See you next week. This is one of my favorites right here. It's called Yahweh by David G. Beautiful.
And mighty ruler, the king of all the earth, we bow before your throne. Awesome wonder, in mighty ruler, king of all the earth, we bow before your throne. And we bow down and worship. mighty voice. Let's worship.
David G. Yahweh.
And we bow down and worship Yahweh.
Beautiful song. Hope you enjoyed that. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Studio W, The Buzz. We come to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. With the finest in broadcasting anywhere around the globe. And now it's time for Teens Talk Truth right here on The Buzz.
Touching the ceiling.